Hi guys, welcome to Balancing the Act. Today I am with Deepa Shard. She's a painter, a management professional for arts and culture, and we're so happy to have you here today. So Deepa, can you tell me a little about who you are and you know what you currently are up to in life?
Thanks, Kevin. It's a pleasure to be on your podcast. I'm a little nervous because I think talking to you can be very an exploration in itself. So I think it's very difficult to define me. It's very difficult to define me all the time. I sometimes sort of take over whatever I know about myself as well on a daily basis. So I think very philosophically, because I'm a very philosophical person, I don't like boxing myself into an idea, and neither do I want you or anyone else to box me into memory of me as a certain person or in a certain box. So I think I'm a person who's I'm a seeker. I'm a seeker of truth. I love connecting with people. I love understanding what people feel, what I feel. So I'm a box of emotions, and I'm an observer, and I'm a seeker. So I think while I wanted to connect to people, I think I started with art, studying art and connecting with nature. And then I studied history. Again, history was to know about people again. And then I moved to work in the art sector to connect with people through arts management. And then I eventually found my niche as a healer and as a spiritual counselor. Again, I love connecting with people, so that I keep doing that through whatever I do.
So this podcast basically talks about travel and your work as well. So we've understood a little about, you know, your work, but what about your travels in India and how has travel changes you as a person? So, you know, let's deep dive into that and tell me a little about your travels in India, maybe what the most authentic place was according to you. And, you know, because you've studied history, a little history facts will work good.
So for me, the idea of travel was very unknown concept, and I was brought up in a very orthodox patriarchal household. So for me, first time when I actually understood travel was when I wanted to run away from home. And that's the first time I took a bus from ISBT, that's a terminus in Delhi. And I was like, I need to go to a place where I can find peace, because there was a lot of chaos in my house because there were four women and one very strong or patriarchal man. So I was like, bhago yahan se was my first idea of travel, you know.
Okay.
Travel to find peace. So all my travel plans are always bhago to find peace plans. And so my first travel was to Dalai Lama's monastery in Dharamshala in McLeodganj. And I think that was my first idea of travel to peace, and that continued through other beautiful locations, again at different ashrams or at different in the hills itself, always in the mountains. I love mountains and good weather and you know, cool weather. So I think I started with the Dalai Lama Monastery. And then I think my next travel was to Osho Dham in Nisarga. It's called Nisarga, Osho Nisarga in Dharamshala. That was amazing. I mean, it was like heaven on earth kind of feeling. Like everywhere you see, there was a composition that was clickable. Absolutely mesmerizing.
Can you give me like a life in the ashram, maybe, you know, what the experience is of living in that ashram?
I'm an urban person. I live in an urban city, so for me it's like exotic to see nature. So when I went to Nisarga in Kangra, you won't believe, Kevin, I actually saw like chameleons and lizards and huge, you know, those monitor lizards right. Okay. Outside the medicine hall, and we were walking between them and they were not bothering us. So that was, I can't believe I was not even scared of them, because otherwise if you show me a monitor lizard in Delhi, I think I will drop dead. But there it was so beautiful that I am a nature person, so they're not bothering me, I'm not bothering them. That was and I didn't know that they couldn't scare me in the mountains, but in Delhi they will scare me. Then that place was abundant with orchards. So there were lychee trees and river. There was a river flowing, and the Dholadhar range was visible from the ashram. So it was like, you don't have to really create the space. Even if you have chaos, if I had carried chaos in my system, just being there, seeing the river flowing and the mountains and the orchards and the nature with you and the snake hanging out next to you on a tree that you're sitting under, you are automatically shifted to a peace mode.
So ashrams do have, you know, a good and a bad name. So, you know, Osho being, you know, the misconceptions of Osho or Rajneesh rather, you know, is there anything that you found a little skeptical about this place, or, you know, ye place is not safe? Was it like a safe place to go? The vibe of the place was amazing. What was it like?
There was nothing of the sort that I'll enter and I'll be into an orgy. No. No. It was absolutely not at all the same. I had gone for a specific meditation program that was called Awareness Intensive Meditation, which had Osho's meditations, like dynamic meditation, Kundalini meditation. So there's a program and a lot of meditation, a lot of dancing. So the funny part was, wo har baat pe hame nachate the. कि चलो नृत्य करते हैं. सो आई एम लाइक यार कितना नृत्य कराओगे यार, मतलब नृत्य करते रहेंगे. सो दैट वाज फनी एंड देयर वाज नथिंग ऑफ द सॉर्ट दैट आई आल्सो हैड हर्ड दैट अब वहां जाके वी विल हैव देयर विल बी द कन्वर्सेशन अबाउट ओशो एंड आई थिंक व्हेन आई वेंट देयर इट वाज सो फनी टू हियर हिम. He is a stand-up comedian of 2008 in my life. That man just says things with a straight face. And I was like, God, matlab itna funny aadmi kaise ho sakta hai yaar. So there was no, I was never made uncomfortable. Yeah.
So what was your next trip like, and where did you go to?
My next trip was, I had several small trips around. Like I went to Radha Swami Satsang Bias in Bias. Then I went to various ashrams in Delhi as well. But my most precious one was in 2019 to Neem Karoli Baba's ashram, which is between Almora, between Nainital and Haldwani in towards Nainital. I think that's Uttaranchal.
Correct.
I think so. So there, it is a small ashram in the name of Neem Karoli Baba. I was there for a week. That place was, I feel like in love when I think about the space as well. It is something else. I mean, I sat there. It's not a biggish place. It's a small temple with a river flowing and the mountains sort of circle you. You know, they hug you. It's like a circled mountains. And there's a beautiful gufa of Hanumanji there. And there's a beautiful marble temple. Just sitting there and meditating was, I didn't know when time passed. 4 hours, I was just sitting there. I think that has been the most precious experience that a small space, not fancy at all, gave me. Ever that I always want to repeat all my life.
While reading about you know, the name Karoli Baba, there are so like there are hardly any facts that one can find, only stories, to be honest. So we would love to, you know, hear your story from you know, their teachings or what you learned when you were basically there.
Karoli Baba is not alive anymore, but as they say, he comes in your dreams to guide you. He came in mind to guide, to take me to his ashram. That's another story. So I went there, and there's a room in which he used to live. There's a small one single bed, and there's a small room. And one of the pujaris said that, "Ek kaam karo, aap is kamre mein jaake meditate karo." So Kevin, I sat there and I shut my eyes and I sat there for an hour. I busted out crying. I didn't care about who, because people were coming in and going to, you know, like wo pair chhoote hain na kambal pe jahan pe unke pair hote hain, लोग आ रहे जा रहे मुझे कोई फर्क नहीं पड़ रहा है, मैं रो रही हूँ. लाइक मुझे लग रहा है बाबा जी ने परमिशन दे दिया, लाइक यू नो आई मीन अ स्पेस एंड आई बीन परमिटेड टू बेटा तुम रो. सो आई वाज क्राइंग एंड क्राइंग एंड क्राइंंग एंड आई एम श्योर माय आईज वर शट एंड आई वाज क्राइंग एंड क्राइंग बट इट वाज नॉट लाइक क्राइंग एज इन लाइक इट वाज लाइक आई थिंक रिलीजिंग अ लॉट ऑफ टॉक्सिन्स, releasing a lot of pain from childhood to growing up to feeling all the sufferings all at once and saying beta mujhe de do apne dukh kind of experience, just give it to me. And I gave it to him and it was a natural thing, it happened on its own. And you know, when you let go and you surrender, then these things happen that I speak to you, that I heard this, he said this, or I sensed it and I did that, right? I surrendered in that room. And when I started doing that and I let go, all of a sudden, I got this. So I released after 3 hours of doing that and going back into not crying and then again crying. And I was like, bahut ro liya, you know, ab chup ho jaate hain. Then I got this voice, Kevin. There was always this thing about, you know, in our society, we are asked to become something, become a doctor, become an engineer, become that. But you don't realize who you actually, what is your unique capability. And nobody talks about being a human being, but it's more of human becoming, you know. Right. I heard and learned that in that room. Deepa, be who you are and stop pretending to become anything else that you're trying to show and prove to the world. So I think that voice came, that be yourself voice, help people, connect with people, present people's sufferings and find them solutions. That's what Deepa is. Deepa is light. So Deepa is to be Deepa. Yeah, I think that's the message I got in that room.
When you were on your journey towards your spiritual ideology, where is it that, you know, you found your peace at, or was this journey planned in a sense where, you know, you go to Osho, you understand at some point in your life, okay, Osho, and then you went to Neem Karoli Baba. In this progression, did you go to another Baba and what did you find?
See, the reason why I was going from one place to another, because my intuition was telling me to. So if my intuition tells me something, I just follow. I don't question it. I just did as I was feeling like. I think there was a cosmic plan, which I can't explain. If you were living with me or you were around me, I can't tell you why. We'll say,
but I'm it going. Felt right.
Felt right. So I cannot explain to anybody. I have to just land there and it's like a treasure hunt. Like there'll be a parchi for me and I have to go there and find it. And I did, you know. And while I would do that, see, the treasure hunt stops if you stop the quest, right? My quest didn't stop because it was getting exciting because I got so many answers. Like, why are there sufferings? What are the causes of suffering? So I was following Buddhism on the side. I was always following the words of Buddha, you know. So I have a monastery in Delhi called the Karmapa Institute. Okay. Karmapa is lineages, and he has a monastery where they teach Buddhism and they also tell you to meditate, and when you meditate you get clarity and you get questions. That was always a part of my system since 2005. So I would go to the monastery, I would meditate, I would ask a question, then there will be a cosmic plan, then a travel plan accordingly, and I will go there, I'll find an answer, come back, okay, I got this. Okay, this is how the world works. This is how the universe works. Here are the problems. I think here are the solutions. So yeah, I think pretty much there was a master plan. And slowly, slowly, my meditation gave me clarity on the following the smaller plans to the bigger plan, basically. Yeah, so these plans were made according to that kind of.
So yeah. was this the last guru, so-called guru you met? Or was there more of these godmen that you met?
So I never met any of the gurus, but I met agents of the gurus.
All right.
Where I went. And I think I was not there to follow Osho or become Osho, or because Osho is Osho. I mean, and I don't want to wear that robe to make them or be a part of a congregation. That was never the plan. The plan was every guru, Kevin. I think people sort of misunderstand it. every guru will tell you, don't follow me too much. Don't put my picture in your room. Don't, because what we are trying to do is find your, the God in you, you know. So don't make us your God. We can guide you to your own guru, you know. So yeah. I would always be friends with the main guru in my head and sort of not completely agree to the representative of the guru, you know. So I would come back to my guidance from my own guru. And these mentors did that for me.
So while you live at these ashrams and do these meditation camps or, you know, whatever the schedule is like, how are the meals like? Are they like purely vegetarian? Is there like a strict, like you have only one meal a day? Or what is this like? You know, I'm very interested or intrigued, like, you know, ye hota kya? Because I haven't visited them. Maybe I might soon. But I think I'll be hearing it from you.
The most exotic, yummy meal was at the Nisarga, Osho Ashram in Nisarga, in Dharamshala. It's like, tumhe ped se toda hua kinu ka juice ya false ka juice tumhe wahi se milega. The food was all organic from the farm, vegetarian, yes, vegetarian. And they were proper meals. So, yani ki tumko bhuka you get food to eat. You have breakfast, you have lunch and dinner. But they're all very sprouts and, you know, like very naturally less oil cooked, very close to nature kind of cooking, very, very nutritious and flavorful. And then you'll get an ampanna drink in the middle of your meditation. So you're like, hi, meditation khatam hoga, main ampanna piyungi, ya wo bel ka sharbat. So, you know, very beautifully, they planned the meals for us. So even at Neem Karoli Baba's ashram, I have a thing for prashad, you know, when you get, you know, with the, I think offering in the name of the God. In Neem Karoli Baba's ashram, I used to wait in line for their prashad, which was boiled chane, chickpeas, you know, wo kale chane.
Got it.
So garam garam kale chane tumhare haath mein dete hain. और वो ठंड में वो काले चने हाथ में इतने अच्छे लगते हैं ना, so I used to eat that, I used to love it, like I used to go for the aarti to eat that chana, and then they used to give a langar, and the food used to be mostly kali pili dal, you know, अगर आप गुरुद्वारे जाओगे ना, you get this kali pili dal, right? That's called langar ki dal. So mostly at these ashrams, and not Osho, Osho is a little exotic than rest. Other ashrams, you'll always get the langar wali dal. And chawal and a sabji like a lokhi or something with it. So and to be niche zameen pe baith ke usko thal mein khana hota hai. So yeah, basically. And the prashads are very exotic. Like there was this one ashram that my father used to go to, and we used to go as babies. The reason why I used to go with him because we used to get chocolates and nutties as prashad. Yeah, I was love it. That's in Anita. That's Hera Khan Babaji. I used to love his prashad. Yeah. So every ashram has a different offering, and I can totally make an essay on that.
So with all these takeaways in life, what is your message now to the audience that is listening? What is that one thing that you would want them to, you know, part away with?
The only thing that I have learned while I did this, and if there's any advice that comes out of that, who am I to advise? But whatever I've learned from the beauty of my life is that we should connect beyond humans with nature. We miss that element, and we are just a small part of it, but we sort of feel we are the only one in it. But actually, nature is bigger than us. That's something that awareness should be in all of us, to enjoy the beauty of our life that we have today. It's not about earning a certain amount of money or taking a certain kind of position in life in terms of market forces, what sort of market forces think. But you missed life if you haven't listened to your instincts. If you make too many logical plans and live life, I think life is bloody boring, you know. And you know what? The most lucky, I feel so fortunate being born in India. People come from all around the world to seek the reason to be alive. They travel from everywhere to come to India. Varanasi, for example, or, you know, even Bodh Gaya. I've been to Bodh Gaya, I've been to Varanasi. I feel like, oh my God, I just need to travel this country. And I think I've done it. There is so much beauty here. There's so much love here. There's so much abundance in every way. And you can be freely doing that. We have a democratic country, right? So we can move around. I move around. I move around alone. I was never with anyone. Whenever I went to these places, I was always alone by myself. But of course, in a bus, you will find people. So I was never really alone. So I think the message I would give to most people living in India is, please explore your own country. Rather than going to Thailand, maybe you can go to Andamans, or, you know, there's so much here that you can find, and you will connect with your soul. And the package is crazy. I mean, nothing like that. Yeah.
So thank you, Deepa. Thank you for this message. I think keep traveling and keep sharing your thoughts and ideas with us. I think you've shared a blog as well, so people can read the blog on the website. And thank you for, you know, taking the time out, telling us your story, and we will see you soon.
Thank you, Kevin, for taking interest in my stories.
Feel free to follow, like, and share. Thank you for your time, and as always, stay safe.